I'm already happy tonight. How about
that? Are you happy?
Yeah,
I'm happy.
Really
happy.
That's the best way to start.
Isn't it?
You'll be jumping for joy.
Happy, happy, happy.
We have to start out happy.
You already have.
I was already happy. Then Nate came. He talked to me. I was happy and, you know, just happy. Praise the Lord. Supposed to be joyful in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a good time tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight to share the word together. It's so awesome, Lord, that we can come right before your throne, your arms wide open, putting a smile on your face as we come before you, Lord, just to share the word together. I know it brings you great joy when your children come. And we thank you, Lord, that you are going to share your word tonight with us, enlightening our understanding. And that word brings life. It's absolute truth. And we rejoice in it tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father, for teaching us, not just tonight, but in our future as we need these truths to walk in. We thank you that by your Spirit, who you have given to us, revelation will come forth right in the time of need. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God. Well, tonight we're still talking about walking in the ways of the Lord. This is part 22. And I know there'll be a bunch more. Last week, in part 21, we discussed a life of peace in a dark world. And we'll continue to talk about peace tonight. And probably for the next, I would say, three messages. It's probably three. It depends on how much I take out and how much I put back in. You know. I've already got the material laid out, but sometimes it changes from one week to another. So tonight's title is Trust and Confidence in God and His Living Word Brings Rest and Peace. Trust and confidence in God and His Word brings rest and peace. Last week we talked about a life of peace in a dark world. How many know it's dark out there? Not just physically dark, but it's a dark world. And if we ever needed to walk in peace, we need to walk in peace now. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is walking in the peace and rest of the Lord. This person exercises the fruit of peace in every area of their life. They are at rest in God's living word. And the only way that you can rest in God's word is when you have confidence in that word, you trust it. But in order to do either one of those, you have to have knowledge of it. You can't have confidence in something that you don't know. I need to know the word for myself. I can hear somebody else tell me. I can even read it and just read it and not have confidence in it. You build confidence in something by experiencing it. You build confidence in something by applying yourself to it, by receiving knowledge of it. And it's no different with the Word of God. If we're to have confidence in the Word, we have to know the Word. We have to be in the Word. And the Holy Spirit teaches us as we receive that word. It's got to be something that I want. See, there's a difference between obligation and commitment. And there's a difference between wanting something and then just wanting to know about it. There's a difference between knowledge of something mentally and having heart knowledge of something. The word has to pass from our head to our heart for it to be alive in us. And that means we have to experience it. We have to desire the word, desire our relationship. You know, if I didn't desire a relationship with her, we wouldn't have got married 51 years ago. She would have said, are we going to get married or am I going to the Air Force? That's what she said. I would have said, well, go to the Air Force. No, but I desired a relationship with her. She desired that relationship with me. Otherwise, she'd have went without asking. So it's the same way in natural life. You have to have a desire before you can apply yourself into something or to receive the benefits of it. Some people just go to church because their dad went to church, their grandparents went to church, mom drugged me every day, or whatever it might be. Others go because they desire a relationship with God. They desire a knowledge of Him. And there's a big difference in the two. We're going to take a look, before we get started, at some of the things that we said last week when we closed. These statements are connected directly to what we've been talking about tonight, about confidence in God's Word. These first few here, or I believe five, something like that, you'll recognize from last week if you were here. You must release peace and choose fear, or fear to be able to be in control. Fear can't just control you. You have to choose it. You might not realize that you're choosing fear.
Well, but you grew up with it.
That you grew up with it, but you're still choosing it. You're making a choice for fear, or fear cannot function. You must release peace and choose fear for fear to be able to be in control. Fear and peace cannot exist together. And we need to remember that. Just the way light cannot exist with darkness. Light will overcome the darkness, but they cannot exist together. It's the same way with fear and peace, or fear and love, or fear and faith. They cannot exist together. And I need to remember that as I'm walking through my life. If I have an opportunity to walk in fear, and there are opportunities, you don't have to walk there. I need to remember they cannot exist together. The one that the individual yields to, that's the one that's in control. You have to yield to the fear or yield to the peace. Neither one can come on you of its own. You have to choose them. Remember that. If you're going to walk in peace, you're going to have to choose it. And we know that peace is a fruit. And if you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And because He lives in you, the fruit of peace is already there. But you have to yield to it. You have to call it forth. And it means you have to do battle with fear and worry and all these other things that are related to fear. You do battle with it when you make the choice to walk in peace. And you have to have something to back up your choice. Backing up the choice of peace means that you realize it lives in you because God lives in you. It means that you're claiming God's Word as your anchor for that peace.
But it takes practice.
It takes practice.
You've got to know that God's living in you.
And you're
not way up there somewhere.
You'll fail. You'll make mistakes. You'll jump off in fear without even realizing it. But if you're loving the Lord, if you're setting your love upon Him, if you're studying His Word and have a relationship with Him ongoing, the Holy Spirit in you will remind you. You'll know that, hey, I'm walking the wrong way here. I don't have to walk in that. And you can take authority over it because you have a right to.
And the more that is practiced, the faster it will.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it takes practice, though.
You have opportunities to walk in fear and worry and concern all the time. Sometimes it's little. Sometimes it's bigger. But whenever they come your way, remember, you have a choice to make. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not hard to sin. You just do it. It's harder not to. But the more you choose not to, the easier it is not to. Because you're practicing and developing the word, developing peace. It's same with all the fruit. You have to develop the fruit. It's already there. But you exercise it by your choice. And you can do that any time. No matter how far into that mess you walked, you can still choose the peace. for it to function, you have to choose it. Now, sometimes we want to get to the place where it's a habitual choice. And the more we choose it, the more habitual that choice will be.
Okay, the faster you'll know when you've stepped out of it.
Yes, the faster you'll know when you've stepped out of it.
Be able to know it's coming.
You'll be able to see it coming. Plus, the Holy Spirit already knows what's out there. And He's trying to get you to walk around it. He's trying to warn you. Chances are, He's been warning you right along that your attitude's not right, that you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, or He's warning you, get in the Word. But I'm busy. Get in the Word. Because you have to have it coming in for your faith to be built. He's wanting you to strengthen yourself before that comes. Peace cancels fear and depression. It cancels it because they can't exist together. If you choose fear and depression, peace will not function. And you'll be begging for it. But you chose the fear. So you have to choose the peace for the peace to function. So peace cancels fear and depression. If you choose fear and depression, peace will not function. They cannot exist together. Love cancels hate, which brings peace. If you choose hate, love and peace will not function because you chose hate. Now, that hate doesn't necessarily need to be an intense display of hate. It can be a little thing. But when you choose hate, or it's related, the items attached to it, then peace can't exist. It can't function. It exists, but it can't function. See, it never left you. Peace is still in your spirit, but you're not tapping into it. You're not authorizing it to function. You chose the other. And if you choose worry, faith won't work because you're choosing worry. And worry always borrows from the future. Think about that. When you worry, why did you worry about it? Because you believe it's going to happen. And it's not happened yet. It's in the future, but you're worrying about it. Hope is what you need, which is absolute earnest expectation. That's Bible hope. You need to replace the worry with hope. Bible hope. Well, if you're replacing it with Bible hope, now your faith works. You see, these things are all connected. And it sounds like it's complicated, but it's really not. If you realize where your enemies are at, it's not hard to walk in the peace. Because those enemies are meant to destroy you.
Well, you have to know, too, that the Scripture says that it's possible to bring every thought into obedience.
It tells you to bring every thought captive into the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who brings them into captivity? God? I do. I have to bring my own thoughts in line with the Word. That's what it's talking about. My thoughts are out of line. I have the responsibility to take the Word and make that change. And worry is wrong. So I have to do battle with it. I have to make the choice to change my mind, to change my thoughts. Faith cancels doubt, which brings peace. If you choose doubt, faith and peace will not function. See, these are opposites. Trust and confidence in God and His Word brings peace and rest. If you choose not to place your trust and confidence in God and His living Word, you will not be able to walk in peace and rest. You have to trust God's Word. That means if you have two choices here, or maybe more than that, you always go the Word way, whether it makes sense or not. It's a higher law. but you have to choose the higher law or the higher law to override the lower law.
Now, the best way to do that is to be around people who already know how to do
right.
that, because if you're just on your own, now some you can get it on your own,
mm-hmm.
but it's much easier if you've got good role models and good instruction and do the hard part, you know, give it all
yes.
the diligence to reading it and that's, put it into practice.
That's why it's so important to go to a word-based church, a church that'll teach you the word, or Bible studies, or something like that, or have a friend where you share the word together. Maybe, I know you and Kathy meet all the time. You got your own private studies. You have made a choice. We want more. And you've got someone to share that word with. It may be a father, a mother, it may be a husband, a wife, it may be friends, it may be somebody. The one good place to find somebody like that is in a church that is that loves the Lord, a church that will teach the word, or Bible studies like this. Now, I'm not even saying this one, but a place where people gather to share their faith together. Because you can help one another with that, and you'll find that your friend will know some things you don't know. I find that all the time. My friend over there knows a lot I don't know. But then I know a little bit she doesn't know, too. Well, let's ask you a question. We talked about confidence there. How much confidence and trust do you have in God's Word? Now, you can't have much if you're not in it. You can say, I go to church all the time. I trust God's Word. But you don't know what it says. How can you trust it? You know, you're not in it. When you ask that question, is when I'm in good times and things are happy and there's no problems or issues around, yeah, I trust God's Word. But now this big problem comes. It might be beyond your own personal ability. Do you have confidence in God's Word? Or do you have confidence in someone else? Or something else? Where are you placing your confidence? And you need to decide where the best confidence should be placed. You know, you can have confidence in a friend or somebody that you know to help you with something or to help you with a job or whatever. But there are times when you need something more than that. You always put God's Word first. That's when you need to put His Word first. Even if the other person, you have confidence in them, they may not know what you need to know. They may give you the wrong advice. You need to watch where you place your confidence and trust. The person may really like you. He may be telling you earnestly what he thinks. And it may even make sense. But don't stop there. Go ahead and find out what the Word says. Ask the Lord, do I go this way? Because the Holy Spirit will teach you. He will quicken you if you go that way or not. Or there'll be like a little caution light going off inside you that I think I'll wait on this a little while.
Yeah.
You know, and spend more time talking to the Lord about it. Well, the next question is, how much trust and confidence do you have in your relationship with God? Now, you would think that they're the same thing, but not necessarily. Some people read the Bible and they don't even know God's the author of it. They don't realize that there's two different steps there. I need to not only have trust and confidence in God's Word, I need to have confidence and trust in my relationship with Him. Well, there are times in everybody's life when all we have left is our confidence in God and His Word. One guy said, well, maybe we ought to pray. And the other guy said, has it come to that? You know, I always thought that was kind of funny, but really, that's the way people think.
The last resort.
It's the last place you go, has it come to that? In other words, I can't go no further. Well, you should have started there, and you probably wouldn't got to that place. But there are times, even when you have your faith and confidence and trust in God, your relationship with God is right, there's still times when you can't place your trust anywhere else but God. That's all you have is your have left is your confidence in God and His Word. Now, these are times when we must trust God, no matter what it looks like. Now, this next one, I'm going to ask you to exercise a little bit, because if you don't come over, you won't be able to see it right. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to come over, because it's a picture.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you can't see it, come on over closer. This is one of my favorites. There is a lot of messages in that picture.
Oh, yes.
Now, you got the buzzards? Mm-hmm. One sitting on the horse's head. The first thing I ask whenever I see that picture is, how in the world did he get there?
Yeah.
You know, there's two, the way it looks, it's going uphill both ways. So there's a ravine down there or something, and he got a problem. Yeah. You know, the horse is, there's rocks falling off on both sides, and his one leg's out there in the middle of nowhere. But look at the guy. He's hanging upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And what's in front of him? A rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few inches away. Now, then you put the buzzards in there, and then you look at the rocks caving off, crumbling off.
Yeah.
Now, horse is losing a shoe.
There's all kinds of things. I like pictures when you look at them, you keep seeing things.
Yes.
Well, this fella had better prayed that morning. Now, what do you think about the horse? Hey, look, I wouldn't be down here if you hadn't took me down this path. So the horse got a problem, too.
And he's like, oh, no. And what's this thing
look,
doing
boss,
in my head?
You're the one that chose this path. I didn't. I just went where you told me to. But I can't keep laughing at that picture because not funny, Jose. But the guy is hanging upside down. Now, if he doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, what's he saying?
Oh my God, I'm going to die.
Probably trying to climb right
now. Got a long way down.
Got a long way down. I can guarantee whether he knows the Lord or not, he does now. That's a foxhole. Salvation, you know.
Yeah.
But either way, he's hanging upside down. I'll bet you he's praying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think his prayers sound like? Anybody got an idea?
Help, God, I'll do anything you want me to.
What do you think about some scriptures that are popping into his head? Anybody think of some scriptures that would work there?
Well, the one that's often misconstrued is that people say that God will never give you more than you can bear. That's not what it actually says.
No, didn't give him that. The guy made a choice that was not right.
Well, now Jesus said you're going to tread on scorpions and...
Yeah, but he didn't say anything about snakes
say,
2 inches away.
Well, you're probably thinking, why didn't I tighten that cinch?
Yeah. But that still
horses wouldn't... have a way of blowing out their bellies when you put the saddle on, and then as it starts shrinking up, your saddle's loose on there. You gotta keep pulling that up.
That horse has got his eyes where? The horse is on that buzzard sitting on his head.
Oh my. Is he gonna peck me to death?
But even if he tightened it up, he still would have his problem. Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be quite as bad because the snake wouldn't be there. Wouldn't be bothering him too much.
Mm-hmm.
I always ask, how'd the snake get out there?
Yeah, that's true.
He's in the middle.
But anybody else with a scripture for this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You better be thinking the word, you know?
23rd Psalm.
Well, one of the scriptures would be this one.
Here's said reprobate.
Psalm 25, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life? He better do that right there. Oh my God, I trust, lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. Do you think that may apply to that? I think it's one, if he that he should know in a case like that. And he better be putting his trust in God, leaning on him, relying on him. Who else are you going to rely on in that case? You know,
there ain't nobody.
No, there is nobody to rely on. But even if he has his relationship and he's doing that, he brought his life to the Lord, he's reaffirming that right now. And, you know, I trust, lean on, rely on, and I'm confident in you, Lord. And he does go down. Mm-hmm. He's still not got a problem anymore. Mm-hmm. He's right in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah, poor horse, you're just on your own.
But if that guy does not have that relationship, he's not going to stop when he lands. He's still going to keep going down, mm-hmm. right to hell. So either way, mm-hmm. that might be the end result, heaven or hell. Yes. Another scripture I thought of would be 1 John 5, 18b. He who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. I mean, you know, this guy can't blame that on the devil. That ridiculous situation that he was in, he made choices. He could have probably went another way. For whatever reason, he's out there. Was it the devil put him there? Well, he might have suggested the path, but he didn't have to take it, you know. And if he had prayed that morning, the Holy Spirit will say, you don't want to take that road. The bridge is out. He wouldn't have told him the bridge is out. But he would have said, don't go that way.
Not that one.
But it's a shortcut, Lord. It's a shortcut, all right. it's a shortcut. So, I hope you'll never have a situation or a circumstance like that. But you may have some other ones that are close. And you need trust and confidence in God. And that's why you don't wait till the problem comes. He'll have a very short time there to build confidence. I don't think he can do it in that situation. He can't walk in peace now or build peace because it's anything but a peaceful situation. He better have his peace already built up before he got down there. Mm-hmm. So there's situations and circumstances that you'll go through in life where you'll have to have your peace ready for you. Put on your garment of praise before you leave the room. Put on the armor of God, which includes the peace on your feet. Satan cannot do anything to us apart from fear. He has to have fear to operate. Or one of its connected components. But fear is what he functions from. Everything he does is based on that component. Satan cannot do anything to us apart from fear any more than God can do something for us apart from faith. They both have to have something to function with. Satan uses fear. God uses faith. And how does faith work? By love. Fear is the opposite of love. Faith moves God because faith is in God. But what moves Satan? Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. He's the father of fear. The way God is love, Satan is fear. These are simple little truths. But if I know them and I'm walking through my life, if I realize that there's fear or some derivative like worry or something like that functioning, I'm on Satan's ground. I'm allowing him to function. I'm choosing that. I didn't choose it, it just happened. Everybody's afraid sometime. You don't have to be, and if it comes your way, you don't have to stay there. You have to do something with that when it comes. So if I know that, then automatically I'm going to start exercising my faith. Where does my faith go? We've talked about that previously in another series. Faith is always applied to the Word, not in the circumstance. So my faith for it to function is applied to the Word. then hope jumps out there and does its job. And patience keeps the two hooked together. So if I'm not going to function in fear and worry and depression and all of that, which depression is fear-based, if I'm not going to do that, well, then I better start functioning in faith. And that means I've got to do what's required to function in faith. It means, first of all, I check up on my love walk. If I'm walking in love, I don't have to fear. Love overcomes fear. It kicks it out of doors, John says. In order for us to walk in peace, we must walk in faith and love. There's no other way to walk in peace. Now, we mentioned last week that peace is not...
it's not an absence of conflict.
It's not without conflict. Bible peace has conflict. The worst battle you'll ever fight is fighting to keep your peace. You're fighting yourself. You're fighting your brain. You're fighting the things around you that's trying to steal your peace. So there is conflict there when you're trying to walk in peace. But walking in peace is not an absence of conflict. It has conflict. So in order to walk in peace, we must walk in faith and love, because faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. This is the Amplified Classic. For if we are in Christ Jesus. Now what's that mean? It means if you're born again. If we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Talking about the law. But only faith, activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So faith is activated by love. Faith is energized by love. Faith is expressed by love, and faith works by love. Love is always the source. If you have trouble with your love walk, your faith will have trouble working. You will have problem with your faith. You'll blame God for things not working, and all the time you're out of love somewhere. You got something against somebody, you're in strife somewhere. You're not walking in love. There's something. You took an account of a suffered wrong. You did that. And you may not realize that it's linked to your faith. But when you took an account of a suffered wrong, when that person wronged you in some way, and you took an offense at it, it hindered your faith. It unplugged your faith, because faith works by love. So when your faith isn't working, do a backwards check and find out where you're out of order. Where have you gotten crossways with somebody? Where have you done something, or your faith would work? There's something out of order somewhere, and it's not God, it's not faith, and it's not the Word. They're absolute. It's something that you did to hinder your faith somewhere. You have to guard your heart. If you got to guard it. And you're the only one that can guard your heart. No one else can guard it. And the enemy will send somebody to you to draw you away. That's his job. If he cannot draw you away from your love walk and from the Word, he can't do anything. He's helpless. And he's still helpless if he's able to draw you away and you get right back on the Word. He's still lost. See, He cannot hold you there if you don't want to be held there.
Well, I guess that's the point I want to make, is no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in your family or your job or your life in general, it only takes, you know, I might find myself being upset all the time just over the political system, mm-hmm. or over something else that's going on.
That can come from the news broadcast,
or, that hinders me.
It hinders.
If I don't recognize that and do something about it, if I just let that, you know, anybody pokes me knows they're going to get a lecture on this, you know.
Well,
I can't, that's not love.
No, it's not love. And what does the Word tell us to do? We need to pray for our leaders that we might walk a peaceful life. Anytime you criticize, you're out of the love walk. It's just that simple. Because you cannot criticize and pray at the same time. That's a statement God showed me. Michael, you cannot criticize and pray at the same time. because your criticism will hinder your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It unplugs you, and you can justify it. See, we're able to justify those things by pointing out what they did or didn't do, whether it be family or friends or somebody that wronged me 10 years ago. You know, and that's dangerous. And the enemy brings it up to pull you away. If he can get you functioning on that and focusing on that, he's unplugged you from over there and you don't know you did it. Because we can justify it. That's why it's so important for us to know these things, and that's one of the battles you'll have. That's one of the conflicts you'll have. Because your brain will tell you, yes, but look what they did. Your response to them has nothing to do with what they did. It has absolutely nothing to do with what they did. You are responsible to love them and forgive them, period. That's your job. And if you don't do that, it will keep getting bigger. And it will continue to hinder you. And it won't be God's fault, and you can't really blame Satan. He's just taking advantage of something you're doing. And he'll help you do it to keep you away from the word and victory. So you got to guard yourself. Well, let's look at this. Peace accompanies faith, righteousness, acquaintance with God, the love of God's word, and spiritual mindedness. You'll find those in a person walking with peace. You'll find those characteristics there. And we're going to look at each one of them real quickly. We talked about them previously, so I won't spend a lot of time on these. And we'll be talking, faith is a fruit, so we'll be talking about that later on. We've already talked about righteousness in this series. So let's look at faith first. Romans 15 and verse 13. And I'll be using the Amplified Classic. We'll take each one of those. Faith, righteousness, acquaintance with God, the love of God's word, and spiritual mindedness. Romans 15:13. I believe last week or the week before we used this scripture. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith. Notice the experience of your faith. If you're experiencing something, what do? You're exercising it. It's working. You're experiencing. Through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. So there we see hope, we see faith, and we see the Holy Spirit, we see joy, and we see peace in one verse. See how they're connected? May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So believing will bring you joy and peace. Through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. And like I said, I think that was in joy. We used that scripture and we talked about joy. Bubbling over, I like that. I like bubbling over. I want it to overflow into something else, into somebody else. Well, righteousness. Isaiah 32, verse 17 and 18. Isaiah 32, verse 17 and 18. And the effect of righteousness will be peace. The righteousness, or right standing with God, affects your peace. I'm right with God, so that brings me peace. Holiness, which flows from righteousness, as we talked about in the past, previous lessons, holiness flows from righteousness. But walking a holy life, because I'm right with God, will bring me peace. But that's my choice again. And the effect of righteousness will be peace, internal and external. So this don't only affect my inside, me walking in peace. It will also affect my natural things around me, external. And the result of righteousness will be quietness and confident trust forever. My people shall dwell in peaceable habitations, in safe dwellings, and in quiet resting places. See, that's God's desire for his people, to dwell in a safe dwelling, a place of rest, a place of peace. In my habitation, don't mean just in your house, but where you exist, where you dwell and abide in your daily life. God's desire is for us to live a peaceful life. And walking right with God affects that. This is New King James this time. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, or natural, the natural, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not about what you have and what you do not have. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's where you'll find the kingdom of God. It's inside. The next one is acquaintance with God. Good old Job, verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 21. I won't go through all that's going on right there. We know the story of Job. It's a very positive book, although most people don't believe it's positive, but it is. He wound up with twice as much of everything. Job 22, verse 21. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. So as I acquaint myself with God, it's more than just knowing about him or just I have an acquaintance with the neighbor. I know who he is. I know his name. Don't know anything about him, but I'm acquainted with him. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a relationship with God. I know him. Knowing God will bring good and will come to you because you know God. There's a flow between you and God. You're highly favored because you know when you're walking with God. The next one we talk about is the love of God's Word. I talked about that earlier tonight, is falling in love with His Word. You know, I know Mom's heard me. I don't mean it for her to hear me, but I have a habit of picking up the Bible when I start studying it and telling God I love His Word. I love Your Word, Lord. See, I'm setting myself. I'm declaring it because I want that love in my life. I want to love God's Word. And I'm speaking it. And that's how I develop love with her, is I talk to her all the time. And that's when you love somebody, you communicate it. There's nothing wrong with a man saying, I love you. You know, what's wrong with that? If she don't know she's loved, she's dumb as a post. She ought to know it by now, after 51 years of I love yous. But that's, let's look at Psalm 119, verse 165. But that's how you develop love with God. You talk to Him. I love Your Word, Lord. I set my love upon You. There's a promise in Psalm 91, 14, 15, and 16 about setting your love upon Him, what God does when you do that. There's some major promises from God when you set your love upon Him. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love Your law or love Your Word, and nothing causes them to stumble. Why? Because they're word-minded. They base their life on the Word. Their peace is because they love the Word. They're exercising their faith in God's Word. And because of that, God's able to lead them around obstacles and circumstances and to prepare them before the problem even gets there. And a lot of the problems that would have been there don't come because I'm in the Word. I don't even know they were there because I don't go that way. Isn't that awesome? Our love walk will determine whether or not we walk in peace. Now, we're not going to 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. We could. We don't really have the time. But We know that, don't we? 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8, Amplified Classic. I highly recommend that you get familiar with it. I gave you all that, copied all of that to you guys. If you don't have it, remind me and I'll give a copy of the Amplified Version to you. But it's so important that we gauge our love walk according to what the love walk is. It needs to be foremost in everything we do. If we will keep the love walk foremost and look at our daily now moment life as to whether I'm doing that or not, almost everything else will fall into place. I'll still have to work with them, but the knowledge will be there, the anointing will be there, I'll be able to hear the Holy Spirit as He talks to me, the Word will be alive to me, and my relationships will be totally different. One of those points is, you think the best of every person and take no account of a suffered wrong. I like that one. I judge my life with that. If I think the best of every person, how many fights am I going to get in? Now, they may try to fight with me, but I'm not going to fight with them because I'm thinking the best of them. You'll find yourself making excuses for them. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. Be sitting with several guys and they'd be talking down about somebody, and I said, after I say it, I realize I've done that. Yeah, but you know, he may have had just a bad day today. You don't know what's going on at home. You know, and that's it. I'm thinking the best of him, even though I may know different or think I do. Even if the person is bad, you don't know why he's that way. What happened in his life? What took him there? See, so the love walk thinks the best of that person, and they don't take account of a wrong done to them. When somebody does you wrong, they don't count that up. They justify it. They forgive them anyways and walk on down the road. I didn't say it's easy, because we've built a lifetime of taking account of suffered wrongs and being mad at people. But that's not God's way. God's way is to think the best of them. And see, that's where we fall short a lot in our faith, because we do take account of wrongs. And we'll get back at him. I'm going to get back at him. You just lost all your faith. You lost it. You're going to have to get a hold of that and get over that. You have to change it. And the chances are you'll justify your attitude, and somebody else will help you justify it, and you'll continue right down the road, and that person, the enemy, will keep bringing that person back, so you get madder and madder. And you're digging one real hole.
The moment you have to justify something, you're automatically wrong.
Yeah.
That's right, Nate. The moment you have to justify something, you're automatically wrong. If I can get that in my walnut head, I can't justify not walking in love. There's no way to justify that. I have to walk in love. Otherwise, I'm abnormal. Well, everybody does that. No, not a Christian. Not a real, genuine man of God. He doesn't do that. He walks the love walk. He forgives. Now, it may take you a little while to do that, because you know, you were hurt, and your emotions popped up there, and you're going to have to go back, but the Holy Spirit's not going to let you alone. You're going to have to go back there and do something with that. If you genuinely want to walk with God, God knows it, and He will help you overcome that. But the step is yours to take. You know, He'll tell you how. He'll help you with it. He'll strengthen you, encourage you, send people your way to help you. He'll keep bringing up scriptures, telling you that you need to do this, but you're going to have to choose to do it. And once you choose to do it, He'll back that. That's so awesome. Once I choose to do it, He strengthens me. And before long, you'll love that guy. You won't know why, and he hasn't changed. But your approach to them is different. And now, when they come by, you enjoy them coming by, because you've been praying for them. You know? What's that story about that nun? Had the rosary and she was tapping.
Oh, that was the, yeah, one of the St. Teresa, the little flower. She was a young girl when she went in a convent. And there was two nuns that got on her nerves. They were old nuns.
Now, these are close, clustered. No, they don't go nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of them was when they were at praying their rosaries. You know, nuns had these great big beaded rosaries. They're not like little ones like ordinary people have. And she would bang and rattle that on the wooden pew when she was praying it. And it just irritated her no end. And finally she had to go to God and ask him to help her overcome that. And by the time she, you know, matured a little bit more, she said it sounded like music to her.
Yeah.
And then there was another nun. They had to do chores and stuff. And when she worked with this other nun to do laundry and stuff, she said she was the only one that when they were done, she was soaking wet. So none of the other nuns was as sloppy and splashy with the water, but this one, when she was assigned to work with her, she knew she was going to end up being, you know, soaking wet by the time it was done. And but she prayed and asked God to help her overcome that, and she said by the time it was done, she just really appreciated it, and she's, I can't remember exactly how she said it, but she was, she said she, by the end of the day, she told the Lord that she was grateful for this lucky dip.
See, it's perspective. I don't care what is coming. Now, those are simple things. It seems simple. But if you're in a chapel every day for years and years and years, and there's no sound except that, it can, and you're trying to be quiet, you know, it can get to you. And the other one's the same every time, working with the same one. These sounds like little things. But if you have somebody come along and doing this, they're just for hours at a time, that is going to bug you after a while. But it depends on your perspective on what and what you do about it. We have choices that we can make. Whatever is bothering us, it doesn't matter what it is, we can overcome it. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Whoever in your life is the one that irritates you the most, they may not even be doing anything. They just irritate you. Start praying for them.
More than one person.
Do something good to them. Take time with that person. They may be you may consider them to be the dumbest person in the world, but they may not be. They may be a lot smarter than you think they are. You're just not connecting right. Plus, what difference does it make if they're intelligent or not? What we call intelligent. They're still good people. You know, all we have to do is see them through God's eyes. God loves everyone.
We had a preacher, a book by a preacher. His name was Mike Adkins, and the name of the book was Norman.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yes.
And he lived over in West Frankfort, Illinois, in the coal mines. Everybody worked the coal mines.
Well, he came to Cedar Street.
He did. He came and lectured us, and that's where I bought that book at. But when he moved there, across the street from him was this old kind of, you could tell it was a real old house. It was, you know, hadn't been painted in many years, and he wasn't, there was a man in the front yard with a lawnmower, and he couldn't get it started, seemed like. So he went and stood across the street on the corner. He said, "You need some help?" Well, a guy just screamed at him. And so after some experience like that, he was like, this guy's got some real problem.
You know? That was Norman.
That was Norman.
Yeah.
He didn't know who he was, though. And next door to Norman was another kind of dilapidated house, but there was an old lady who lived in there. Mm-hmm. And she came to the church. Well, he asked her about him, and she said, no, he's always lived there. He's never really had a job or anything. His mom always took care of him, and then she passed away. So he's been living there by himself. And so he they would see him every day, but he told the kids, you know, stay, don't go in his yard or anything like that. But every Sunday night after church, he would take his kids and they'd go over to the Dairy Queen and get ice cream cones. Oh. And one night when they went in there, this Norman was in there. And he just knew God wanted him to talk to him, you know, and find out if he was saved and everything. So he went over and he said hi to him, and Norman didn't, he was just eating his ice cream, and he goes, Norman, do you know, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? And Norman put his ice cream down and looked at him. He said, I have considered it. So, I mean, he was entirely different from the outward appearance that,
exactly.
You know, and then they began to work together, and he ended up getting him saved and, yeah. You know, getting him out of a good, you know, all, he didn't smell good because he never took a bath or anything, eventually, it's a really good book. Yeah.
You can't tell what's under the surface of a person or why they're that way.
Yeah.
We have to learn to see people through the love walk. We have to do it. It's not something that's easy. It's not something that's comfortable. But it's something that we need to learn to do. What would love do here? And everybody needs somebody. And they may be the way they are because nobody wants anything to do with them. There's that one prisoner, too, that was in a couple prisoners. I guess he was on death row or whatever. Anyways, he's very ill, and he was in the infirmary. And this one guy was born again, this one prisoner, so he volunteered to work in the infirmary. But this old man had a cane, the one that was in the infirmary, and everybody that come near him, he hit him with that cane. So nobody wanted anything to do with that old man. And he was really, been there, I guess he was a lifer or whatever, but
yeah.
Been in there for a long time. And he was in pretty bad shape. So this one guy that just got born again, he was in there a long time. So he wondered why nobody would work with the guy. And he said, well, he'll knock you out with that cane. You go over there. So he decided he was going to work with him. He was going to try. And sure enough, every time he went over there, he got hit with that cane. But he kept going back. Mm-hmm. He didn't stop. He kept going back.
Well, he learned how when he went to whack him with that cane, he would grab it. Like, yeah. I had to give him his food and his medicine and stuff. You know, yeah. He had to get up there to him.
Yeah. And one time, the guy, old man asked him.
He never slowed down trying to hit him.
He said, why do you keep coming back? And so he told him. He loved him with the love of the Lord. He wound up leading the guy to the Lord. And I don't know what happened after that. But
well, he didn't live too much longer after that, yeah. But he got saved.
Got saved. But you don't know. You don't know what put him there. Well, being in prison, for one. But you don't know what put him in prison.
Right.
You know, you don't know how far back that thing goes. But you just never know what a little bit of love and kindness to someone will do. The next one is spiritual mindedness. Romans 8, 5, and 6, and we've talked about this numerous times, but we need to remember that these things follow peace. And one of the things that follow peace is being spiritually minded. If you're not spiritually minded, you're not going to walk in peace. Romans 8, 5, New King James, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I can't come up with a better definition of what being spiritually minded is. If you're going to be carnally minded or worldly minded, mad when they're mad, glad when they're glad, up when they're up, and down when they're down. Mm-hmm. You're just flowing with the flow. If you're going to do that, mm-hmm. You choose that. Then you're going to be carnally minded. You set your mind on that, and you'll wind up with everything the world has for you to do. Hate, worry, fear, depression, all that's available to you, if that's what you want. But if you don't want any of that, then you're going to have to be spiritually minded. Now, those things are still out there, but instead of them having you, you have authority over them. You can make decisions and overcome those things because you're spiritually minded. being spiritually minded means you're word minded. It means you govern your life with the love walk and you govern your life with the word. Those are priority in your life. Don't mean you walk around with the Bible open all the time, although that's not a bad idea. You know? But it means that you're in the Word, you have a study time, you talk to the Lord as you go through your life, as you walk, as opportunities come up. I spent a little time just talking today. I'm you know, this and that. What about that? You know, just talk to him like you do your best friend. Or your mom or dad. Just talk to him. He's right there. He's in you. And he's listening. And he appreciates it. Just be normal with him. Let him tell you. And you'll find out after a while of doing that, you develop a communion with him because you want to talk to him. He'll start talking back to you. He's been doing it all along.
And you'll be surprised how far just a direct, honest dialogue with that intention will go.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Because you're acknowledging him and you're reaching to him, you're seeking, you'll start hearing. God talks to you, you better believe he does. And I don't want him to stop. And he talks to me all the time in his word. Little impressions, little thoughts that come, you know they didn't come from you. You never wasn't thinking about that. And a little impression comes up and tells you to do a little something, and you follow through like your pulpit that you're building. I can't wait to see that.
I got work to do, but yeah.
Are you getting anywhere?
We've got a couple of the trees cleared. One of them's rotten. So I think the whole making three is still accurate, but I think this group is just one of them.
Two from one. Yeah. But what he's doing is God's told him to make a pulpit out of a tree, make it all one piece.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you carve it out of there.
Oh, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, and he can do it. He never done it, but God can do it. It's like Noah. He never built an ark before. Didn't even rain, you know.
He told me to do it. He'll have to tell me how to do it.
He'll tell you how to do it. I love it. He will do it. That's why I'm anxious to see it. Well, I have to stop there. So, Father, we thank you for this time in the Word today. I love you, sir. I love your Word. And I know my brothers and sisters do, too. So, Father, we thank you for this evening teaching us these principles, Lord. They're very simple principles. Just simply walk the love walk. Walk the word way. Father, that's so simple, but it's so profound at the same time. And we ask you, Lord, to continually bring us knowledge and wisdom concerning these things. We seek you, Lord. We seek your word. And you said, if we seek, we'll find. And Father, we thank you that there are guarantees in the word that all we have to do is reach out and receive them. And Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that you gave us so much, that it's available to whosoever will. We thank you for it, Lord. I thank you so much for those that come and for those that will hear these messages over the internet or through CD or through word of mouth or through just our lives as we lead them. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us that we can teach others. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.